You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. In line with what we just heard about, what many see as a climate of anti-immigration, President Trump has also recently had some things to say about not just immigrants, but about whole countries. When he was recently with elected officials talking about Haiti, El Salvador, and African nations, he referred to them in a vulgar term we've all probably heard by now. Well, this weekend, African entrepreneurs and innovators are converging in Mountain View to talk business. They're here for the African Diaspora Investment Symposium, where they partner with Silicon Valley companies to invest in projects that impact Africa. It's organized by the African Diaspora Network. Founder Almaz Negash says, despite this anti-immigrant, anti-Africa political climate, Africans are cutting deals, building businesses, and growing economies.
For many years, especially in Silicon Valley, Africa has not been very well known. What we wanted to do is, could we bring the Africans and friends of Africa together? One, to co-create possibilities, to make relationship, to form partnership, but also to tell the story of Africa through Africans. In Silicon Valley, very few people really know about Africa. Although I have to say, if you go a little bit deeper, you will find people who have gone there, but mostly as a mission work, you know, just to do some aid work. Not necessarily to invest in Africa, but they haven't really seen Africa through the African diaspora lens. And so our job is, at least my job as an Eritrean American, is how can I actually bring Africans together to co-create and co-imagine possibilities, not only for Africa, but also this community in which we live. We, the diaspora, are major contributors of the U.S. economy, especially the African diaspora. Very few people know this, but we are highly educated at the same level as Asians, if not more, in proportion to the number of Africans from the diaspora. Those of us who came to the United States probably after the 50s and the 60s as foreign students, as immigrants, legal immigrants to come and study in the United States, which is what I have done. I came to the U.S. as a foreign student many, many years ago now, 30 years ago. So it has been a long time. So we do find ourselves this to be our home. This is our home. We contribute. My kids are born here, and I'm educated here. My husband works here. So we actually do find this to be our home, and we contribute just as much, maybe more. But at the same time, Africa is our home continent, and we feel connected to that motherland, and we are focusing on harnessing what's within. What is within Africa? What is it that Africa has to offer to the world that Africa can also solve internally, but also with the help of external investment? And so what we're trying to do is connect the need with the solution. In the Valley, you've got very entrepreneurial community that is trying to find other ways of investing. Well, what is needed right now in Africa? Energy is critical. So solar energy and solar energy investment is a big deal. The same thing with agribusiness. That is a huge need in Africa because it is actually almost 75 to 80% of the population depends on agriculture. Well, then it behooves one to think about what kind of investment we do. And I do hope people come to the symposium so they can hear what is happening on the agriculture, in technology, education, and especially small farmers, sustainable development. We're talking about a population that is going to be 2.5 billion in 2030 or 2050, I should say 2050. So what does that mean to the world? And also, it's a very young community, young society. So that means employment, education, these are critical, and it's a huge investment for any country or any individual trying to do business in Africa.
So about doing business in Africa, let me ask you, because many people might be thinking, well, you know, it's risky. Is there really money to be made, or is this going to end up being a charity project?
No, I think that's a very fair question. In fact, one of the questions I always ask, and we should always ask as Africans and friends of Africa, is, are these governments of Africa really preparing the continent for business? That is a critical question, because as an investor, if I was going to invest in something, it's a very basic question. Can my return on investment come back to me? To do that, you have to have a legal system. You have to have a security, and security means peace. So there are countries right now working very, very hard. And I would give an example. It's not a perfect system, but you've got Ghana, you've got Nigeria, even Ethiopia, and it in her own way, in that continent, the country is doing the best they can with all the unrest in some areas. But I think the government is doing the best they can to bring investment.
How do you keep going? Because this is not easy to do, especially right now in light of the current political climate, with all the anti-immigration talk happening at the highest levels of government. I'm from East Africa. You're from East Africa. Our president just called our countries a certain word that I won't say on the air, but was meant to, you know, demoralize. This is a new climate.
Many people are having a hard time actually getting visa. So, for example, I get people who want to come to the symposium, but they need a visa and the visas are being rejected. That is a huge problem, not only because they are trying to come to the symposium and cannot attend, but actually the fact that they cannot come because of the place where they live or where they are residing. That in itself, in my opinion, is discrimination. When you have the opportunity to be respected, just like any other country, if Norwegians are good, so are Africans. I don't see any difference. There is no need for that kind of discrimination, but it is happening. People, whether people come to the symposium or not, I think I'm more concerned about the economic well-being of these countries, the fact that they get labeled as terrorist countries or this and that, when actually data and statistics shows that they are not. Here is one thing I know. As an African with a thick skin, this only puts my head up. It never puts me down. In fact, I really believe that we are more encouraged and more empowered to bring a much larger community together, not of only Africans, but Africans and friends of Africa, because I do believe that when we start to know each other, the respect is much higher. It's only when people who don't know you, they fear you and they come up with their own language to describe you. But we're very strong. That's the key. It's the strength is our culture and who we are.